We
are.
We
are.
We are cultivate.
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 We are cultivate.
Hello and welcome to a special mini-sode of Ye Olde Crime, the show where Maddie and I discuss the funny, strange, and obscure crimes of yesteryear every Wednesday. This special bi-weekly segment is called Can You Crack the Cramp Word, which is slang for a difficult or obscure term, which I thought was very fitting. And joining me today is Jessie Browning from the Prickly and Blooming podcast. And before we begin, I'd like to give her the opportunity to tell us a little more about herself and her show before we get started. So, what was your life like when you first started the podcast? Because I know you had a refresh, like a rebirth in it later down the road in your podcast, but what was it like for the initial iteration?
We were opening a business. I launched a podcast and I called it, I said I was in my hustle era. Like I was like,
yeah,
I can do it all. And we also have four kids, just as a side note.
Yeah.
We have four children. And at the time, let's say if they're 9, 11, 13, and 15, 16, they would have been, you know, like really young. One of them would have been like five, you know, in kindergarten. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was in kindergarten year, that COVID year. So I was in, I was falling for the like, I have all these businesses. I'm this businesswoman and I can do this as well. And I can do that as well. And I was in that era. I'm definitely post that era now, you know, and I was also really like into the meaning making of the experience that I had and knowing that like the darkest, you know, time that I had really did lead to like better things. And so I really wanted to, you know, celebrate that with other people. And so I launched the podcast, you know, with the earnestness of wanting to share everybody's story. It's really some of my greatest like conversations and times. And I would talk to people. I could talk to people for hours, you know, but anyway, that's where I was when I launched the podcast. And then when I took an assessment in whatever year, I don't know how long it was. So I found a pretty good success in my podcast. I was a finalist in this software called Launchpad One.
Okay.
They're part of, I'm blanking right now. Oh my gosh. Can't remember. But anyway, they had it was called Self-Made Podcast, you know, contest.
Okay.
And I was a finalist in that. And so the winner, which was not me, spoiler alert, I was just a finalist. The winner got, you know, a contract with them and, you know, could go on and, you know, fully produce their show.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I made it to the last three, I think it was three or four of us. I'm so foggy in the details because it's like 21. Like, you know, like, it's weird.
Yeah.
We all have like a slight trauma memory, you know, like little T trauma.
I know.
Like, what happened during those times? A true crime show won, actually. I do remember that.
Go
but
figure.
What was really, yeah, right. Go figure. But what was really interesting about the true crime show that won, that the gentleman was investigating a murder in his own family.
Oh.
Like a historical murder in his own family. So after that, I hate to say that I had the like, I really want to do this. And if I can't do it at this level, I kind of like, I was like, I need to backburner this and, you know, focus on my business. And then that turned into a year and a half project to move to Europe. So whatever.
Yeah.
I love long answers. Sorry.
No, like that makes perfect sense though, to like, you know, especially if during that time, you're working three businesses, you've got four kids, and then like you and your husband are just like burning yourselves out before finally just being like, fuck it. Like, let's just, where do we want to go? You know? So I guess my question is, what made you choose where you ended up?
So we, I think, had been circling this each other and hadn't brought it to the other person. And my husband said that. He said, I knew as soon as I said to you, okay, I'm ready to do something else, we would be doing that. Like he knew that I was already there. Like I was a little bit ahead of him. So our 15-year anniversary was 2020. So we couldn't go anywhere. So the year was 2022. It was our 17-year anniversary. And we were going to do like 15-year redo, you know, because COVID happened and we opened a business. I mean, it was just like a blur of a couple years. And I said, well, let's go to New York. He's from Texas and he had never been to New York City. And we've talked about that for years. And he was like, actually, let's go to Europe. And I was like, excuse me? We can go to Europe. Because if we're going to Europe, we have to go for 2 weeks. Like, we can leave this baby business, you know, and our other businesses. And he was like, yeah, let's do it. I want to do it. Let's do it. And I was like, yeah, let's do it. So we booked a trip to Paris, Barcelona, and Portugal. And in that time of booking the trip, but before going on the trip, we both, like I said, we both had been on our own little journeys, had researched what it would look moving to Portugal. We had a friend who had moved to Portugal. She's no longer here, but she wasn't very close in our, but we lived in the same small town previously. Mm-hmm. And I think that's probably what gave us both the idea of like, she moved to Portugal. What's going on in Portugal? And so Portugal checked a lot of boxes for us. We wanted to be near the coast. We wanted to be in a place that you could get a visa because, you know, just spoiler alert for everybody who might be thinking about this later this year, depending on the results of an election, you can't just leave the United States. You know, you can't just show up somewhere and say like, hi, I'm here. You know, there are actually a lot of steps involved in a visa process. So we looked for places that were open to Americans coming, because not every country, you know, that we could qualify for a visa and was coastal. Being near the coast was important to us. We lived in the true deserts of West Texas for a very long time. And Portugal just really quickly emerged. So by the time we booked that trip and the time that we went on that trip is when we had the conversation of like, hey, I'm open to the idea of doing something else with our lives. What about you? You know, and then my husband said, you know, if I leave Texas, I want to like actually leave the country. And I was like, really? Okay. You know, and, you know, here we are. I mean, we executed that pretty quickly, honestly. If we had the ideation summer of 2022, August of 2022. So now we're 2024, not even 2 years later. Here we are. Wow. And I work for somebody else now. So we've shut down all our closed, sold, whatever, all of our businesses. And I got a job because since we were going through the process of shutting down our businesses, we weren't sure if our businesses would satisfy the visa. So I got a job that counts. So I'm on a digital nomad visa. So I work for an American company. I work like American times. So normally this would be like a working time for me, but I work 4 days a week, which is a miracle. Okay. And I hope our country goes that way.
That's awesome. When you mentioned the thing about visas, you know, a lot of people joke like, I want to move to Canada or whatever. Yep. Like, you know, they have all these things they joke about. And it's like, well, you can't just do that. Like,
you can't just do that. Yeah.
There's steps that are involved. Mm-hmm. And I do recall reading recently that there are some countries, I want to say Sweden is one of them, but I could be wrong. Oh. But it's something where like, if you have some sort of Swedish lineage and you are living in America, they will give you a visa and you can like come there. And I was like, that's kind of cool, you know? And I was like, you should do, you know, my lineage and see what's going on, you know? But
how far back? Yeah. How far back do they? Yeah. We've met some people here in Lisbon and she has Croatian lineage.
Okay.
So they're getting Croatian citizenship. It's like her grandma was from Croatia. Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, spoiler to everybody, you can't just like pack up and leave.
So yeah, that's cool that you guys were able to do that. And you kind of picked like the if you were going to go, you picked kind of the perfect time to go before like the housing, like everything with like housing just kind of exploded and all that. So, I mean, you kind of, you got out of here at the right time if you were going to leave.
Groceries, I heard a statistic, of course, on a podcast of the Daily like a month ago that housing had gone up like 43% since 2019 in groceries, I think. Gone up 26%, or did I flip those? No, I think that's right. I think groceries was 26%.
I think you're right.
Yeah. Since 2019, it sounds ridiculous to say that like moving the six of us to Europe was more economical, but I think it will be in the long term. I know it will be. You know, my children won't be crushed under student debt, or God forbid any of us get really sick, we won't be financially ruined.
Well, on that note. I'm going to segue us back to the slang term portion of the interview, if you are ready.
I'm so excited.
All right. So your first term is nim a tattler.
Nim a tattler?
And I can use it in a sentence if
you
would like.
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay. One must always mind their wrists and pockets to avoid someone nimming their tattler.
What?
Which sounds so dirty.
It sounds so dirty. I mean, it sounds like a nut punch. What do they call it? Boys call it?
Rochambeau.
Yeah, like a nut, whatever. I just watched Catching Up on The Walking Dead with my oldest kid. And we just watched a Negan episode, and he was like, a nut, blah, blah, blah. Nut punch. That's what it sounds like. Repeat it again.
One must always mind their wrists and pockets to avoid someone nimming their tattler.
Oh my gosh, nimming their tattler? I mean, it definitely sounds like a theft, right? Watch and pockets. So I feel like this has something to do with theft, like a pickpocket. But then they're naming their tattler. I don't. Yeah, I guess that's my guess.
So it is theft. It is okay. Specifically when you steal a watch.
Ah, so I did. Yes. Yeah, because it was pocket and wrist. Yeah. Oh my gosh! But it definitely sounds like
it sounds so dirty.
So dirty.
So it was first used in print in London in 1821 when they published Stealing a Watch, which among the lads is scientifically termed nimming a tattler or nabbing a clicker.
Wow.
Because they used to call watches clickers as well, like if it was like the pocket watch.
Right, because it had the pocket watch was the click. Yeah.
And because it made the click when you clapped it shut. So.
Right. And then, of course, that turned into the television clicker when we were kids.
Yep. Nabbing a clicker is a different thing nowadays.
Yeah, it sure is.
People wouldn't even know what you're talking about if you said a clicker these days. They'd be like, what is that?
Yeah. I have no idea.
All right. Your second term is hump up.
Hump up?
I can use it in a sentence.
You gotta hump up on your nib, your tattler. Okay, sentence. Yes, I need a sentence.
During an argument with Lisa, Cassie practically had her hump up.
Oh, well, then I would want to say like hackles up, like a cat with their, you know, when they get all the ridged on their ridge, and dogs too. Then that's what I would say. What would be your hump up? Is get your what I would even call my inner knowing, like. That hump up has helped me out in a lot of, you know, scary, dark nights where you're like, ooh, something's not right. So your intuition.
Very close. So it is to be cross or ill-tempered. But again, like the example is like a cat with its back set up. So yeah, you had that part right for sure.
That part right. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh man, that is fun. At first I was like, oh, to like fill up on water, get your hump up, like fill up your hump.
Yeah.
Like that's what I thought at first.
Yeah. And that makes sense too. I mean, because again, it's the humping of the back, you know, but, and this term was first used in 1913 in John Camden Hotton's slang dictionary. So this was some sort of London slang or something that they would use for like Cockney type of slang. So to get your hump up, to be mad, be ill-tempered.
Okay. Oh, I love that. What a great genre. I love it.
I know. The terms that I will stumble upon when researching for this segment are just chef's kiss. Yeah, like some of them are just beyond. And then there are others where it's like, you can tell what it is based off of what it says. Like it's pretty obvious, but some of them you're just like, what does that mean?
How did anybody understand that? What are you talking about?
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. Well, I would like to thank Jesse for joining me today for Can You Crack the Cramp Word? And before we go, you're not doing the show currently, but can you tell our listeners where they can find you if they are interested in learning more about you and the show?
Yeah, I'm on any podcast listening application, software application, you know, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all of that. I do have a website up still. It's called PrickleyandBlooming.com. But the contest I talked about is probably the last thing I put on it. It was definitely like a, you know, a deflation after my runner-up. Like, fuck it. So I think it's available everywhere. One thing I want to say is the last season I did is I focused on Texas women. So as being from Texas, I was like, let's home this in and do Texas women. So that was pretty fun.
Well, on that note, as always, I'm Lindsay, and I'll see you next time with another tale as old as crime.